Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at The Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. This is Kyle Brustin Northman, KBN, on ESPN Wisconsin. Here's Kyle Wallace, Ben Brust, and Brad Northman.
Packers take on the Bears for the division lead on Sunday. Kyle Brustin Northman across ESPN Wisconsin. 800-990-3776 is the Carbless Talk and Text line. List is more. Get us on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee and at ESPN Madison. You can always stream and listen back as well on the ESPN Wisconsin app. Now, let's take a little trip back to Ben Johnson's introductory press conference. You know, the Bears, as we heard from David Kaplan earlier, if you missed that, go listen back to all the places I just mentioned. Coaches, coordinators, quarterbacks, the whole nine. And we've heard this before. Lovie Smith, I believe it was, you know, we're going to measure our success based off how we go against the Packers. Well, you'd think somebody new coming in would be like, maybe let's just make it about the Bears. Nope, Ben Johnson couldn't help himself.
Dan Campbell, Kevin O'Connell, you're talking about two guys that are up for Coach of the Year awards. And to be quite frank with you, I kind of enjoyed beating Matt LaFleur twice a year.
That makes me laugh. I just burst out laughing. That joke did not hit.
He was planning it out.
He has no comedic timing. Not that your head coach has to or needs to, because he's done a pretty good job with the Bears, let's be honest. But boy, that joke was such a miss.
Dude,
can you play it one more time, Stroke?
Because like you know he read it to his wife like five times. She's like, honey, it's gonna hit.
It's gonna be so good. They're gonna laugh so hard.
Dan Campbell, Kevin O'Connell. You're talking about two guys that are up for Coach of the Year awards. And to be quite frank with you, I kind of enjoyed beating Matt LaFleur twice a year.
You can even hear someone like shift in his chair.
Did he legitimately pause?
Yeah.
This is a pause.
Yeah, no, that's real.
Pause. No editing of audio.
Yeah,
that in the teleprompter, it said pause for laughter. And he paused. Yeah. Oh, no laughter. Okay. Well, let me just keep going. Matt LaFleur ain't worried about this.
It was so disrespectful, though. I mean, Matt LaFleur has been he is a successful head coach, and he just comes with a stray.
So this one just made me laugh because now I think we're probably 2 months later, and Strofe, good morning, please.
Good morning. Good morning.
Morning. He got them to say good morning, couldn't get him to laugh. But I actually love the full clip because he's doing the King of the Mountain. King of the Mountain, baby.
Good morning. Morning. Really excited about today. We should be our longest practice yet, and told the team last night this is where we'll get a great chance to eval just who's here to survive through training camp and who's really wanting to thrive and become King of the Mountain. So
probably hasn't.
Oh, was that my ear? Okay. Has he ever heard of King of the... I mean, seriously. When
Brad, has he ever heard of King of the Hill?
All I could think of hearing that is this sounds like a coach who's coaching a JV team, and he's talking to the parents about what training camp's going to look like.
Justin chimes in. He's honestly the perfect coach for them. The desperate Bears energy reeks off of him.
Yeah, it really does. Again, this is a guy that literally right now, he ripped his shirt off after the game because he couldn't believe they just beat the Eagles, right? That is a coach that once again says, wait a minute, we're somehow finding a way to win these football games. And this is what you do. When you're at the top, everybody's looking up at you. Everybody's thinking about you. That's what everybody's thinking about. Ben Johnson came to this division thinking about beating one team, just like all the other Chicago Bears coaches came. They don't come here thinking about winning the NFC North. They don't come here thinking about winning a Super Bowl. They come here thinking about how can they beat the Green Bay Packers, and that is their first problem. And this is why on Sunday the Green Bay Packers are going to put them in their place and let Ben Johnson understand, you're not in Detroit no more, buddy. You don't have a great quarterback. You don't have a phenomenal running back in Jahmyr Gibbs. You don't have a great wide receiver or tight end anymore. You got the Chicago Bears. And yeah, you might have beat the Eagles, but you're going to play a team that's not floundering right now like the Eagles are. You're playing a team like the Green Bay Packers that are hot and ready to go. So guess what? We're going to put that latest smack it down to rock style on the Chicago Bears come Sunday afternoon.
Is Matt LaFleur keeping receipts, though? As we heard from Ben Johnson's introductory press conference when asked about that, beating Matt LaFleur twice, enjoyment that Ben Johnson brought up with crickets. Here's what Matt LaFleur had to say today.
Put any thought into what Ben said about you back in March this week? Not really, no.
That's a yes. That's a yeah. Of course he has.
Nah,
of
he
course
ain't about that. Man, of course LaFleur, he has. Like I said, I don't even know Ben Johnson like that. He ain't worried about what Ben Johnson got to say. Ben Johnson ain't playing. Matt LaFleur ain't playing. It's about getting your team ready. He ain't worried about no damn Ben Johnson.
If you don't think that Matt LaFleur isn't, not dwelling, it might be too strong, but thinking about this, a little bit of kindling on the fire, he's not a competitor.
Can we do the thing that he called us out at? He goes, you play in the NFL. You play in the NFL. He knows, and he's keeping it in the back of his head, and he wants to beat his ass.
And Matt LaFleur, even one more time with Matt LaFleur. I want you to listen to his tone. He like speaks through the media, not through words, but through like attitude and through kind of like how his tone is. Let me hear it one more time, Strofe.
Not really, no.
That is That's Matt LaFleur with a little bit of little anger.
He's not going to say. What is he
said? He said not really because he's aware of what he said. But he
correct.
Said,
he's aware. And deep down inside, he's like, I want to win, and I want to let this guy know that he's coming in here, and he's just like every single one of the other coaches that thought they could beat the Green Bay Packers too.
That should be his mindset. Matt LaFleur, whenever he says like fewer words, you know he's trying to say something. Remember it though. I forget who it was, but he's like, yeah, he's injured. Or he's limited, right? He wants to send a message by using less words. He could easily say, oh, no, that was just, you know, something back then. We've connected since then.
He doesn't
then.
Want
no
to talk about it. He's like,
he wants the play to speak on the field.
Yeah, he's like, man, not worried about what this dude's saying.
There's no chance.
What a waste of my time.
There's no chance it means nothing to him. No chance.
He wants to beat the Bears. He doesn't care who the head coach is. You know what he gets happiness out of? He gets happiness out of beating every new head coach the Chicago Bears throw
out. So you don't hold grudges for someone who didn't, you know, believe in you or call you out. Like, that was my whole competitive nature.
Ben Johnson... Ben Johnson has lost to the Green Bay Packers before as the offensive coordinator of the Detroit Lions.
So Matt LaFleur needs to put him in his place.
Yeah, he's going to put him in his place just like he wants to put everybody
else
in his place.
So you're telling me if the Packers win on Sunday and the coaches meet in the center and they do their little like bro hug thing, Matt LaFleur isn't saying anything?
No.
He won't say anything. There's no pleasantries.
It's just a shake of the hand and move on. There's not going to be like a dap up. Ben Johnson's probably going to try really hard.
Ben
And Matt's going to be like, nah.
Yeah, Ben Johnson's the type of guy that's going to butter you up face-to-face.
At the end of the game, after the Packers win, I promise you, Ben Johnson's going to want to hurry up and get up out of here because he's going to feel stupid because he's putting so much into this game. No, he's going to do that tap and run off the field. He gives me kind of that... that baby vibe a little bit. Like, when things are going well, it's great, but when things aren't going well, he gets a little whiny and complaining.
Josh and Kenosha, you're up on the Carbless Talking text line with KBN.
Hey, guys. Hope you all had a good and safe Thanksgiving. I just want to say that I love Cap, but I think he's a little overconfident, and I'm not really sure what this game will be Sunday. I know it's going to be huge, but I think what's going to determine it is going to be who can run the ball and who can stop the run. Now, the Packers did a great job on Thursday of stopping the Lions' run game. That surprised me. But as we saw the Bears dominate the Eagles and put up almost 300 yards rushing, can the Packers stop that? If they can't, I think the Bears win. I think it's a close game. But I got to say, you guys are running your mouths a lot because you're trying to hide your fear. Because you didn't think the Bears would do this.
Oh, there it is. Strofe, well-timed. Well-timed. Every time. Just every time it seems like the good point is being made, the Bears fan goes over the ledge.
Here's what I want today. And maybe I might need to ask for it all week, but I'm going to ask for it today specifically. I want a Bears fan to call in and see if they can get to the end of their call.
Ryan in Madison has been texting. He won't call in.
He got his feelings really hurt last time when I went.
He won't call in because he says you won't let him finish his whole thought.
Is your thought a smart thought?
Yeah, exactly. That's the question you have to ask yourself.
If it's not a good thought, then you know what? Go ahead and use them Twitter fingers. Keep texting in and make sure you watch the streamers on YouTube. We appreciate you, but we only want good thoughts on this phone line.
We got a Michael Jackson man in the mirror, man. If you said something stupid, I'm going to run you like Josh just did.
Victory Monday is brought to you by Palermo's Pizza, Wisconsin's hometown pizza, with delicious brands like Palermo's, Connie's, and Urban Pie, and Screamin' Sicilian, which I can say it is the best pizza to have. Frozen Pizza Friday is a staple in our household. It came from my wife's, my mother-in-law. I still got to get used to it. It just got to go quicker. It's my, you know, like, it's just my mother-in-law. It's not my wife's mom. It's my mother-in-law. She coined Frozen Pizza Friday, and now some people are tweeting me when they have their Screaming Sicilian pizzas on Fridays. We give away Screaming Sicilian pizza prize packs on Fridays. So it's literally become a fabric of my life, and it's who I've loved Frozen Pizza from the beginning. And now that I get to represent Palermo's with all those brands, it's amazing. So stay tuned for Friday as we give away a Frozen Pizza Friday prize pack. Jason Wilde is going to join us at 3:30. If you're on the line, stay there. We will continue on as Matt LaFleur is showing that he had a little something on Sunday. Will he do, or on Thursday? Can he do that again Sunday is the big question. Your calls, everyone else next.
This is Kyle Bruston Nortman, KBN.
Brent is crazy. Strofe is emotional. I don't want to get in between none of this.
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Victory Monday brought to you by Callen from Kitchen and Bathroom Remodels to Infinity by Marvin Fiberglass Replacement Windows. Callen makes your home feel like a win. Request your consultation today at callcallen.com. Taking your calls and texts on the Carbus Talk and text line 800-990-3776. Maybe someone you know is a Bears fan that said something stupid. We're keeping all receipts. David Kaplan, host of ESPN 1000, joined us and did that already. We'll have other guests throughout the week. Ben Bruss, Kyle Wallace, Bradley Nortman, Alex Strofe running the show. And on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee and at ESPN Madison. Now, again, the Packers played in a way where not only did they win, but they did it in a way where it was very easy to walk away, not having to come today or Friday after. Strofe, I know you did a little quick Mr. Irrelevant, quick hitter. There's nothing that you can really say like, damn, like I'm really mad about X, Y, or Z. You know, like, and I think that's when you know they put together those two games of complementary football. And I don't like even saying complete games. I like, you know, it's against the Lions in a divisional game. It's not, you're not going to play that like perfect complete game, but you did as well as you could do to play off each other where special teams wasn't a huge issue. Brandon McManus making kicks, and you know, that was a good thing to see after he has. We should just put this out there. We are of the belief of KBN that Brandon McManus made Lucas Haversick go out and kick against the Giants in the wind to save his job.
Go get that game day check, young buck.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah, you got it. Take advantage of this opportunity.
You got this one. Ooh, a little windy. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, my leg hurts.
That plane ride was rough for the quad.
That being said, you got that. The defense, Micah Parsons. This is so sad to say, but Micah Parsons probably doesn't get enough love. And he gets a ton of love.
He does not get enough love. What we are seeing, we talked about before, it was 2018, the last time we had two guys have over 10
2019,
sacks.
Preston and Za'Darius Smith.
And I think Preston ended up with 12 and a half that year.
I don't have
it. It doesn't matter, because that's the point, because Mike is going to surpass, and he already got to 12 at this point.
12.
And so that's my whole thing. He is a disruptive force for this football team, and he completely helped change the identity of this defense. Like, that is how special he is. And the other guys around him on the defensive line, Inigbari played better. They played better on Thursday against the Detroit line, but it's simply because of his presence. Now our GM can draft guys that can help be around him to enhance his defense. They're only going to get better. They struck gold. Our two guys on the offensive defensive side of football that you need to step up, and Michael Parsons and Jordan Love, they both did exactly what you paid them to do, and look at how the results were. This is beautiful. This is why you pay guys who are big-time players.
That's my bad, Justin. I did mention it earlier. The only, and I would say it's not like anger or mad. It's just part of the game. The only black cloud would be the Devontae Wyatt injury in that game, because he's confirmed out for the season and a very integral part of their interior, which is not very deep to begin with. And when he's been in there, he has been helpful in stopping the run, which will be important against the Bears' offensive line and run game. But he agrees other than that.
Yeah.
Let's go to Brett and Madison. You're on the Carbless Talk and Text Line with KBN. It's Packers-Bears week.
Hey, guys. I hope everyone's had a good Thanksgiving. I just got to say, Kyle, I just got to mention on that comment you just made about Ben Johnson, I think it's very rich to think that Ben Johnson comes off as a crybaby when no coach has had more temper tantrums than Matt LaFleur himself. Ben Johnson's pretty cool, calm, and collect. He's very focused. I just think that one was kind of off.
I recall, I don't watch a lot of Bears games, but I do recall early in the season, recall him kind of getting on Caleb Williams a little bit.
Well, he got a little snappy at halftime.
With a sideline reporter.
Yeah, because, you know, he was very intense, and, like, that was his excuse, is like, I'm just intense, and, you know, I wanted to fix all the things that I saw, and it wasn't out of disrespect.
No, I mean,
but Brett does have a point. We have seen
Matt LaFleur doesn't really keep his
I didn't say Matt LaFleur. We have talked about that a lot of time, but I'm telling you this right now is that Ben Johnson seems to me, because things have been so good, and again, a lot of this, these guys run off arrogance, they run off cockiness, they run off confidence, and he has had a lot of confidence in the fact that his offenses have been good and his teams have won. And then things, when things don't go well, I can see Ben Johnson going off the rails a little bit.
Yeah, that's like a lot of people and coaches in sports or just in general. But I guess when I think about it from a Packers perspective, I'm more thinking about Matt LaFleur for the rest of the season than I am about Jordan Love. Like, because of the performance that Matt LaFleur had and the aggressiveness, is like, you absolutely should be celebrated. But can he become the consistent guy as the leader of this team? You know what I mean? Like, that's where my head
really
goes.
Really? See, I my thing with
Matt, like, because Jordan Love, again, I know what he is, and he's been ascending and trending in the right direction, where when he drops back, there's no, like, fear that you had when he had the interception problem last year, or just him being a rookie and, you know, botching a snap in his second game on fourth and one, where he's like, all that's gone and done with. Matt LaFleur, you yourself have said the same word you've used about Bears fans, you've used about Matt LaFleur, and I'm not trying to gotcha. You've said he's got a little imposter syndrome.
No, and so he definitely does not know who he is, and you saw it from one Sunday game to a Thursday game.
And that's my thing.
5 days.
That's my thing. That's what I'm thinking about, is can he be consistent in who he is moving forward? Because if he can be, then the sky can grow even further for this football team. To quote Kyle.
Yeah, and when it comes to Matt LaFleur, you know, it's just fun to see him coach with confidence. He coached on Thursday like he believes in his guys. Like, when he calls a play for Jordan Love, or, you know, puts a defensive game plan together alongside Jeff Hafley, when it's aggressive, when it's confident, it shows that he's believing in this team, believes in their abilities, their ability to execute, and then you see it come to fruition on the field. I think that's my biggest question with Matt LaFleur, and wondering, are we going to see this same coach that we saw on Thanksgiving? Are we going to see it Sunday? Are we going to see it the rest of the year? The guy that goes for it on fourth down, the guy that changes things up. You've got some like fun, aggressive pass plays married with good running game. I mean, there's so many things that just look like a prepared football team that wants to go win and not lose. That's a winning formula for this team.
This is a football team, and more importantly, the football coach. You know what you saw on Thursday?
The football team.
You saw a coach who knew that regardless if they won or lost on Thursday, the season wasn't going to be over. The Packers' backs weren't up against the wall. He knew that, listen, there's still a lot of season left in front of us, so he did not coach scared. He coached with the mentality of, let's go out there and let's hit them in the freaking mouths, and let's continue to be, not risky, but be gutsy and go out there and execute. That is the way that he coached. And for me, I want him to approach the rest of the season as if there is nothing to lose, Matt, because at the end of the day, you have won zero Super Bowls. And right now, you're trying to prove that you can get this team back to an NFC Championship game and get them to a place that you have not gotten before. I would love for Matt LaFleur to shake that conservative play calling, shake that mindset of, well, you know, we just got to get through this game. No. Every game should be about dominating the team and being aggressive. I don't care who you're playing against, because the Packers have it in them to play like this against the Lions, because they have showed us this time and time again. When Matt LaFleur is aggressive, this football team has responded responded in a good way. So that is my biggest beef with Matt LaFleur, is he gets in his own way of sometimes being too conservative when he has all the tools and the guys that have now maturated. They have grown up. They're more mature now, where you can actually be aggressive and count on a Tay Wicks. You can count on a Christian Watson. You can count on a Romeo Doubs. You can most importantly count on a Jordan Love to make a play when it matters the most.
We're going to get to Jason Wilde coming up next here on Kyle, Brustin, Nortman, because it is a Victory Monday. We will get Jason's take on what Matt LaFleur had to say in his press conference and move towards the Chicago Bears and what Jason's expecting there on this Victory Monday, brought to you by Palermo's Pizza, Wisconsin's hometown pizza. They have delicious brands, I can tell you that. It's not with those. They have delicious brands like Palermo's, Connie's, Urban Pie, and Screaming Sicilian. So they got your game day covered. Find it in your local grocer's freezer. Jason Wilde joins us next on Kyle, Brustin,
Nortman. This is Kyle, Brustin, Nortman.
And I'm like, you know what? Lola the Bunny was kind of strapped.
Yeah, okay, here's as far as I'm... All I'll be able to say is I get why Bugs was so love drunk over Lola. I get it.
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
People that watch the Jets regularly, those four people, yeah, I don't know.
Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year.
This is like me announcing that I'll be on Wilde and Tausch tomorrow. I mean, God willing, if the creek don't rise.
Holding everybody accountable.
You play to your strength, and their strengths, if their offensive line can block the right people.
Jason Wilde is on Kyle, Brustin, Nortman.
Joining us now on Kyle, Brustin, Nortman across ESPN Wisconsin is Jason Wilde. Listen to Jason 9 to noon across these various stations. Read him at Channel 3000. See, he's promoting that newsletter. Jason, what's going on?
Hi, guys. How are you?
We are doing well, doing well. And as you can imagine, Bears-Packers has made for already interesting conversation amongst teammates in the office, David Kaplan from ESPN 1000. But before we get into that, I do want to start with who you think had a better Thanksgiving, Matt LaFleur or Jordan Love?
I think Matt LaFleur probably did by a nose. They both had great Thanksgivings. I mean, I guess I can't speak to what they did once they got back.
Correct. Around from a football standpoint.
But from a football standpoint, they both had really good days. And certainly, you know, to me, Matt LaFleur, everything that he risked or took a chance on, was bold about, paid off, right? I mean, I think there's a fair debate to be had about the decision to go for it on the fourth down at the end of the game, and especially the decision to throw the ball on third down when an incompletion stopped the clock.
Mm-hmm.
But it all worked out. And, you know, for the people that think he's too conservative or that he doesn't let Love throw the football frequently enough, you know, he did all those things. He took risks. He had a game plan that was very much an aggressive game plan. He told Jordan Love throughout the abbreviated week that we're going to have to win this game through the air. So then he went out and called a game that matched that. So, you know, I think he had a really, really good Thanksgiving, and Jordan Love executed effectively. Dontayvion Wicks had a really good Thanksgiving. He was critical to what they did. So they had a lot of guys that had big, big Thanksgivings. I would probably say, though, that Micah Parsons might have had the best Thanksgiving of all of them.
Now, Jason, with that, do you think this is an approach the Green Bay Packers will take moving forward, or will it be a game-by-game or what you expect the defense to give you type approach with Jordan Love versus Jacobs?
Yeah, I definitely think it's a game-by-game thing. I think Matt LaFleur and all of these guys, Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan, all these guys from the same family of trees or whatever you want to call it, they all have that same approach. Is, okay, what do we do as part of our offense that most effectively combats what the opponent does defensively? What are the weak points? And then if some weeks those are running the football, if some weeks that's slinging it around the yard, if it's certain types of a passing game because of what they play with their safeties or how they aggressive they are with the blitz, it's all a week-to-week thing. And so, you know, the days of John Gruden, we do what we do, and we make other people adjust to us, those are long gone. And a lot of the guys that we're talking about here, and especially Sean McVay, who was a disciple of John Gruden, worked for him in Tampa when he was just a kid. You know, the game has evolved, and now it's, you know, you have to figure out what your best matchups are, what your strengths are compared to your opponent's weaknesses. Just like the Bears, I mean, you know, the Bears ran for 281 yards on Friday. Friday, I don't usually say it's a Friday game. It was definitely Black Friday for the Eagles. And, you know, looking at the Packers' run defense, that it hasn't been a sieve, but it certainly hasn't been as good as other aspects of their defense. So they'd be foolish not to be coming in here with the mentality that they're going to run the ball again. But looking at what the Bears have done and the fact that these will be outdoor conditions versus Ford Field, the fact that Jordan Love has not thrown very many interceptions, he's thrown three all year, and they're going against a defense that has intercepted 17 passes, most in the league. You know, it'll be interesting to see how Matt LaFleur designs his game plan based on that information.
Jason, you know, in Ben Johnson's opening press conference way back in March, he said, you know, took a shot at Matt LaFleur. I've enjoyed beating Matt LaFleur twice per year, and I know it was addressed very briefly in his press conference today. But you know Matt LaFleur better than us. How much do you think that's irritated or ate at Matt LaFleur this whole time since he said that?
I don't think it's eaten at him at all, Brad.
Even irritated
Jason,
he
was, tell him, Jason.
The competitor?
I mean, of course he's competitive, but you think he wants to beat Ben Johnson anymore because he said something stupid at the press conference? Like, I will kind say of. This. I talked to him after that happened, and my recollection from that conversation was just that he was confused by it. Like he obviously was going for an applause line with the new fan base. It did not. It was like, I don't know about you, but I thought, you know, and look, Ben Johnson, his team is 9-3. Like they've won a ton of games. I don't think Matt LaFleur is concerned about what Ben Johnson said. I think he's concerned about how he's managed to get, you know, Caleb Williams to be effective and the fact that they're running the ball so well. Like I thought that line, and I don't know how Bears fans reacted and you know, if they ate it up because his delivery was horrible. Like if he was a stand-up comedian, like as good, like he threw out a first pitch at a Cubs game and threw like a sinker, right? Like for a strike, like he went in the windup and the whole deal. Like as impressive as I thought that was, this is at the opposite end of the spectrum. Like he mimicked a pitcher, a Major League Baseball pitcher, far better than he mimicked a stand-up comedian. I thought the line was just lame and unfunny, and it didn't make any sense. Like Matt LaFleur is an offensive-minded coach. Like it's not like. If Ben Johnson had been the defensive coordinator of the Lions and said that, that would have made sense, right? Or if he was the head coach of the Lions. But he wasn't either of those things. So, you know, I think Matt LaFleur, I'm not here to speak for him, but I think he was more like, I don't know, what's with this guy? Like they don't have a history together. There's no sort of like, you know, either all in good fun rivalry that there might have been with, say, you know, if Robert Saleh had said something snarky. So I don't think it pissed him off. I really don't. I think he was just like, what's
this dude's deal?
He says this guy.
Exactly.
I think he even said publicly, he's like, I don't really know him.
Like yeah, he's that. Like, I don't know him like that. Like, I think I remember that.
You know, he's simply just trying to appeal to the fan base.
Jason Wilde joining us here on Kyle, Bruston Nortman across ESPN Wisconsin. And so, Jason, as I'm thinking here about the loss of Tucker Kraft and this group of wide receivers and potentially adding Jaden Reed and Matthew Golden being back. I'm so confused. It works really well. And then there's doubts. And then like, now I'm like, well, is there going to be too many guys when Reed and Golden get back? Cause Wicks was awesome. And like, there's snaps to go around. So this is a good problem to have, right? I guess, kind of, sort of, you get what I'm getting at?
Yeah, I understand what you're getting at, Ben. But you know, there's a couple things. First of all, like, if this is why I think going back to Kyle's question, it's important to recognize. Like, there are certain things that doesn't matter how talented you think your little group of wide receivers are, unless you've got one of those guys that is just like Devontae Adams, by the way, who's once again leading the NFL in touchdown catches. When you have a guy like that, the defense doesn't really matter, right? The rest of these guys, the guys that the Packers have, they've got a bunch of good players. I wrote about Christian Watson today. I wrote about how the offense feels like it's starting to come together yesterday. And I think both those things are true. They're not – nobody that they have is on Devontae's level. But, you know, look what Wicks did on Thanksgiving. Like, yeah. He's really good. And he deserves more snaps. And, you know, I talked to Jaden Reed briefly today, and look, he's eager to get back out there. But, yeah, they're going to have to figure out, okay, how much do we want to say, okay, Watson, Dobbs, and Wicks are our guys? How much do they want to sprinkle in Reed to start? How much do they, you know, when will they have Golden back? You know, it did not sound overly encouraging the way Matt LaFleur answered the question about him today. And his growth has certainly been stunted by first the shoulder injury and now the wrist injury. So, you know, they are definitely in the good problem to have category, but they also have a real problem, which is they don't have a tight end that's anything close to Tucker Kraft. Like, again, we kind of joked about it going into the Thanksgiving game, but Josh Wiley is the one that's probably the most complete of the three, and he wasn't even on the team. He was on the practice squad until Tucker got hurt.
You know, I did a little wiggle, though, that first down wiggle.
And look, he picked up a pass interference penalty where the dude grabbed his arm, and I think that led to another touchdown that they had on Thursday. So look, they've still got a lot of weaponry. And I would argue that it has taken them a little while to kind of figure out, all right, who are we going to be at our core without Tucker Kraft? Because I hate to keep reminding people of this, but Matt LaFleur, to Kyle's point, like, very rarely does Matt LaFleur say anything definitively about what they want to do offensively. And after that Pittsburgh game, Pete Doherty from the Green Bay Press Gazette said, can you really build an offensive passing game around a tight end? And Matt LaFleur's response was, we'd be crazy not to. Like, that's as definitive as Matt LaFleur gets on anything. And then literally have him for one half and like 2 minutes of the third quarter against the Panthers, and poof, now you've been without him ever since. And it just feels like with Watson, with Wicks, with Reed coming back, who we keep forgetting, led them in receptions and yards each of his first two seasons, it feels like they're in a really good spot if they can, to your point, Ben, kind of share the wealth and figure out how exactly to distribute the opportunities and the snaps and the targets.
Jason, Micah Parsons is the best non-quarterback Packer since who, in your opinion?
Non-quarterback Packer.
We're trying to put comprehension.
Look, he's been phenomenal, don't get me wrong, and I understand that this guy is one of my guys, but like, if you look at the seasons that Adams had while Rodgers was winning the MVP, like, he was the best wide receiver in football, right? I mean, and this is in no way, because I've been working on this story. I'm really hopeful, since, as you guys know, I kind of was the catalyst for this whole thing. I really want to walk in I want to be in Lambeau Field on Sunday and in the fourth quarter have them play Enter Sandman by Metallica, which was Halfley's suggestion, like Mariano Rivera. So I do not want to downgrade Micah Parsons in any way, but he's not the best pass rusher in the league, right? Miles Garrett is this season so far.
Yeah, Miles Garrett, right? He is nasty.
Right. And again, that's not downgrading Parsons at all. I'm just saying Adams was undeniably the best wide receiver in the league that 2 year window. And so, yeah, he is incredibly special on defense. You know, I'm trying to think of guys that have been in his class. Yeah, that's exactly who I was going to say. Like, since Charles Woodson in 09-10, I don't think anyone's been as dominant as he's been, because Clay Matthews certainly had dominant moments and was a really good player, without doubt, great player. But Parsons is better.
Was he triple
way
teamed?
More impactful. Right, and not only is Parsons triple teamed, but sometimes he beats the triple team and still gets the pressure out of it. So, you know, again, Brad, you played in Carolina. I still would argue that, and the Packers screwed it up because the guy wanted to come back. Julius Peppers, I did not get to cover him during his most dominant time with Carolina and with Chicago, but what we're seeing is even better than that. But I got to see glimpses of it during the 3 years Julius was here. Like, you just know when you're around special players. Like, I was talking to McKinney today after the group dispersed for my Parsons story, and he sometimes sees it in real time. He was telling the story of one of the sacks that Parsons had. I'm going to use it in my story. Like, he hadn't even gone back into his back pedal yet, and the quarterback was already lying on the ground. He's like, how does that happen?
Oh, I love
it. Amazing.
So, yeah, he's a dominant player. There's no two ways about it.
Well, Jason, we appreciate the time. We'll be talking to you on Thursday and listening to you throughout the week.
All right, boys. Thanks a lot. Take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde, Wilde and Tausch. I'm going to tell you about the Princeton Club, because whether you're just looking forward to, you know, your New Year's resolution, you can get started now at the Princeton Club. Lowest rates of the year are right now. Lock in that rate before 2026 is here at the Princeton Club, and you will walk in, get that tour. You're going to be like, this is amazing. They have everything I need for my fitness journey. You can have a strong body, a strong mind, and help provide a strong community. No goal is too small or too large. Whatever your goal is, you'll walk in, you'll check in, they'll say hello. Like, the atmosphere has it, a vibe where you feel like you're getting better and everyone else is around you. And that's what I love when I walk in to the Princeton Club, and you will feel that too. So head on over to the Princeton Club for your better tomorrow. We'll wrap up the ESPN Wisconsin portion of the show. We'll get to Levi and Stevens Point, and the Badger season is over next.
You're listening to Kyle Brust and Nortman.
That is completely unacceptable. It is unacceptable for a team to...
Unacceptable.
Unacceptable. Is acceptable? Unacceptable?
Unacceptable.
Unaccessible.
Wait, what?
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
.99-0-3776 is the Carbless Talking text line on Kyle Brustin Ortman. Levi, thanks for holding. Wow, 50 minutes. You are a champ. You're up.
Well, thank you, Mr. Ben Brust. I appreciate the compliment. And what is up, boys? It is Bears Week.
Yeah,
what I heard with Cap from ESPN Chicago, come on, man. That was just delusional, Brad said earlier. But about, whatever, but I'm very excited about this game. They're not going to lose to the Bears at home. Are you? I'm trying to be careful not to say FCC airway violation.
Don't do that now, Levi. Don't do that to it, Levi. Get suspended.
I won't. I'm keeping my mouth quiet. Don't worry. I'm just saying they're going to beat those Bears, man.
Heck yeah.
That's it. And make Strope's birthday great coming up Sunday.
Oh, it is your birthday coming up. Wow. I like that. Make Strope's birthday great come Sunday. What a birthday gift that is.
Me and 70,000 of my best friends congregating at Lambeau Field for my birthday party. Dude, awesome.
Oh, wow. Oh, it's going to be a cold one.
I know.
Like 0 degrees.
I'm aware.
Yeah. No,
time now for
that.
Our Badgers update. They end the season 4-8 in the third year of Luke Fickell. And coming up next in Madison is Jim, Matt, and Molly. The Damn Sports Show in Beaver Dam. And we are up next on 94.5 ESPN, YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee. And, of course, if you don't have it, download the ESPN Wisconsin app. We're back in 2 minutes. What is you guys doing?